Well, a desire and interest in your attention and prayers tonight that don't really intend to take a lot of time, but I'd like for us to direct our minds back to the Sermon on the Mount. We have spent some time last Sunday night with the Sermon on the Mount. I would like to spend some more tonight. We begin reading in the fourth chapter where it talks about Jesus went about all of Galilee. We talked about where Galilee was. Galilee was a region that included several cities. There was also the countryside, obviously. When I say city, they weren't big metro areas, but they were known as cities in their day. It also included the area up, at least on the western and northern side of what we know as the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Gennesaret. And the people that followed were following and assimilating themselves to Jesus were of various backgrounds, some of them even from quite a ways outside of Galilee. And they had come to where Jesus was. That Jesus had called Peter and Andrew and James and John, I believe, all from fishing to be fishers of men during the fourth chapter. That's Matthew's account. Right there off of the Sea of Galilee. And there were a number of people that were following him beyond his disciples, the ones that were called to close contact. And one of the last verses in the fourth chapter talks about a great multitude. So Jesus went up into the mountain. The area to the west side of the Sea of Galilee appears by a topographical map to be somewhat hilly and maybe mountainous. And he went up to a higher elevation where he could maybe project his voice out over the crowd, and he could be heard, and he began to teach them. And we noticed at the end that he said that he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. He taught from experience, and not only experience, he knew how things would end up. And one of the comments I tried to stress is, Jesus knew how not accepting the New Testament dispensation, how that would affect mankind. He knows the impact of sin and how that's going to end up. So we talked about the Beatitudes and how it's the characteristics of Christian behavior. We spent some time talking about being poor in spirit, and being meek, being peacemakers and merciful, and feeling happy or blessed if we were persecuted for righteousness' sake. We have a reward. We have an anticipated goal or objective that we would receive the kingdom of heaven for portraying these characteristics. But in the 13th verse, he changes direction a little bit. And he says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." Now, I can't remember. It seemed like one of my daughter-in-law said something about nuts going stale. They didn't know nuts could go stale just recently. And I've noticed that, especially like sunflower seeds. If you leave them with the bag open and you forget to close it and you leave it out where humidity and stuff can get into the bag a few days or maybe a week, on the back side of the counter, and you pick it up, and they don't taste like they did when they were sealed up. It just really is pretty disgusting. And I don't know about salt. I'm not a very expert when it comes to, very much of an expert when it comes to salt or seasoning. But the implication here is that salt can lose its ability to be salt. And he says, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I know from growing up, my mother was one that was a minimalist when it came to salt. And many times we would sit down to eat and she might say, well, you might want to salt that. I think I forgot to salt whatever it was that she cooked. And she didn't care for very much salt at all. And I kind of got used to that. And some people like a lot of salt. Like, this, I need extra water to be able to drink, eat this food because it has so much salt. But the point is that salt is very necessary for almost all of our food. Even salt on some things that we think of as sweet can really make the flavor, it can enhance the flavor. I like tomatoes, ripe tomatoes with and without salt. I can eat them without salt and it's just fine, but there's something about putting a little salt on it that makes that flavor just really stand out. You know, there are philosophers that have tried to portray the idea that mankind is basically good, and that the whole deal about serving God and repenting of sin is, you know, that if you just let people go, they're basically good. Well, I don't ascribe to that at all. I feel like that we are sinful because of Adam and Eve's fall in the garden, and that we need a redeemer. And once we are part of the kingdom of God and a follower of Christ, here is something Jesus said to those that were following him, and I believe this message transcends all the way down to us today. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So if we are to be salt, and we're going to read a little more here, we have to be something that is distinct, that is identifiable, that is able to make a difference in our circumstances. All right? So I'd like to read a little more, and we're going to bring, hopefully, comment a little more about this idea. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, I believe presents a basic idea in these verses we have read. He illustrates it with salt, and he also illustrates it with light. And we see people that have maybe a shirt that says salt and light, and that's what they're referring to. Well, how good is their salt and how bright is their light? We lived in Oklahoma for about 12 years on a place outside of town. And over across the pasture from our house, it was probably, as the crow flies, it was probably maybe 2 miles away. A mile and a half anyway, there was a house up on a hill, and there was no trees around the house. I don't know why they never planted any trees or, excuse me, I may sneeze. I thought I was going to. But it's just a house. And it wasn't just a one-story house. It was a two-story house with a steep roof. And it was not in my mind, it was an attractive design of a house. But there was no way for it to hide. If they had the light on, I could see it after dark. And the only thing that ever cast a shadow on that house is when the clouds would float over. And I can remember there was so much grass and pasture out there in the rolling hills to the west of our house. I can remember being kind of fascinated with seeing the clouds as they drifted along. And there would be, you could see the shadow from a cloud on the grass. And that's about the only shadow that was ever cast on that house. But it was at not a mountain by any means, but it was on a top of a hill. And it was visible from a long ways away. I'm very certain with as windy as it was at my house that they felt it felt very windy at that house too. But the point is, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." A house that's set on a hill with other things stripped away. There was no ground, there was no trees, there was no brush hiding the house. I could, even from that distance, I could tell if there was a vehicle in the driveway up close to the house. So the idea of us being salt and adding flavor, not just any flavor, because cayenne pepper and salt don't do the same thing for food. It does something different. Now, it seems like, and y'all can correct me afterward and now if you want to, but it seems like salt enhances the good things that are in food. But if you put cayenne pepper on something, you can change what it tastes like. You can take sweet corn and you can make it taste like, well, like cayenne pepper. If you get enough of it on there. And you forget that you're eating sweet corn. It just tastes like pepper. So the salt, the idea behind the salt is that the gospel message would bring out the best in people's, you know, there are, because we were designed by God, there are some things in there that with the right amount of salt can be brought out and be very beneficial to society. Our personalities, we all got a little different one, and they can all be a benefit to one another with the gospel helping us to enhance that flavor. And a light, not just a light off in the corner somewheres. We had a light in our basement. I've learned a little something about LED light fixtures. Whoever wired the circuit up in our house had wired it up where the switch just controlled the ground and didn't control the common or the, I would call it the power wire. Anyway, so you could turn it off by turning the switch off, but my wife said it always is glowing just a little bit. You could turn it off and leave it off for several hours and go back down there. And when all of the other lights was out, it was like a little night light that was glowing. Well, when I got to digging into it, I found that they had switched the wrong side of the circuit. We are not to be just a little glow somewheres. And this would happen to be in our pantry in the basement. So it could glow all it wanted to, and it didn't keep me from sleeping. It didn't put out enough light to cause us to think somebody had left something on downstairs. But when you went down there and opened the door, it was a little bit eerie because the light was already glowing. You turned it on, it came on bright. But anyway, our testimony and our life, he says, both of these illustrations, he doesn't say this is optional. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. That's what he says in verse 13 and verse 14. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. It's visible. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he says something that I think we ought to take heart, take to our heart. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, as a light that's set on a candlestick, as a light that's a city that is set on a hill, as salt that would bring out the good flavors of different personalities and the good aspects that God has given as a gift to mankind, we are challenged in our profession of being a Christian to let our light shine before men. Not that it's a little glow somewhere. You know, any light is better than no light. You know, if I get up in the night and an unfamiliar place, any light. It could be a street light kind of coming through the curtains. It could be somebody plugged in a little bitty light down along the floor or something like that. But any light is better than no light. But the design here is that we would be a beacon. Not blend in to the underbrush. Not a camouflage. I used to work on a game warden's truck years ago. And I remember one time he came in, he'd got a new truck. And, you know, a game warden's truck is usually painted kind of like a military vehicle, somewhere between green and brown. It's not necessarily very shiny. And this fella made a purpose to not wash his truck. He wanted it to look old, even if it was a new truck. And he came in and had a new truck. This is, oh my, this is a long, long time ago. And probably 35 or probably more than that, probably close to 40 years ago. And he brought in this little panel with all these switches on it. And he said, Dan, I want you to wire this up to where if I flip all these switches down, I can start my truck and no lights come on. I don't want any lights on the dash. I don't want the backup lights to come on when I put it through reverse and go to drive. I don't want anything to come on. No warning lights on the dash. I want it to be totally dark. Because he said sometimes I'm in a place where I'm trying to apprehend a poacher. And he says, he said, if they hear my truck, they just don't know exactly where I'm at. But I said, he said, if it's in the dark and there's a little glow, they know exactly where I'm at. So he said, I want all the lights. And then he had in that panel, he had a switch to where if he turned the headlights on, he wanted it wired up where if he flipped the switch, one of the headlights wouldn't work. And he said, if I see something suspicious and I drive by with both my headlights on, I can turn around and come back by with one headlight out and they think it's somebody different. Now, and he also had one of the, now it almost sounds like I'm making it up, but it's not. He had one taillight wired up that way too. And I had to put this all together for him. He brought the little panel in with all these switches. Now, he took it off of his old truck and was putting it on a new truck. Now, the devil would like to come along and tell us that he would like for us to think that we're still being a light, but we're running under camouflage. And I'm telling you what Jesus said was to let your light so shine before men, like a city that's on a hill, like a house that's up there without any trees around it. They had the light on in the upper room. You think somebody's home. There's a light on over there. Like salt that is, most of y'all know that it's very available now to have your own salt and pepper grinder. We got some battery-powered ones at the house and really feel like we're on the upper end now, upper crust, by having battery-powered salt and pepper grinders on the table. And I'll have to tell you that I think the salt and the pepper has a more distinct flavor when it's freshly ground. Maybe it's all in my head, but it seems that way. And Jesus was telling them, "Ye are the salt of the earth. You are fresh. You are distinct." This is something that ought to cause people to say, "That is different. That's something I want." And the enemy comes along and wants us to think we can be like the game warden's truck that run under camouflage. He likes to think that we can, he likes to portray that we can just have our light that's just glowing, that it's not bright, that we can camouflage our light by not allowing our good works to be seen of me. What did he say? He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the enemy would like to come along and cause you to feel intimidated or conscientious about if somebody says, "Where were you yesterday?" And he'd like for you to be able to say, the enemy would like for you to say, "Well, you know, I had some things I had to do on Sunday." That's camouflage. I think that he wants us to be able to say, "Well, I was in church service. Where were you?" I was worshiping the Lord. I've been challenged many times. You know, some people get up and they watch the news and do other things before they go to work, and I don't watch the news. I don't usually turn on the radio or look at the internet or anything. I usually get up, spend a little time with prayer, and read something in the scripture before I go to work. That's my routine. And I feel like that it's good for others to know that's what Dan does before he comes to work. It needs to be distinct. It needs to be something where other people understand this is my routine. This is who I am. This is, if you want to call it that, this is some of my works. Why is it it's something that is my faith is being put into action. What I look like and how I portray. I'm not trying to run some kind of camouflage operation and slip in behind and surprise somebody that I'm actually a Christian. You know, I'd like for them to be suspicious that I was a Christian a long time before they asked me. I feel like that's what God wants. He wants us to live in a manner where it's distinct. My wife bought something from the store. just yesterday or day before, I can't remember now, brought it in and showed me she brought some products made with eggplant. She said she's going to fix it with me. And I told her, I said, if you can figure out how to cook eggplant where it tastes good, I know how to grow it because it's like weeds. You plant eggplant and you'll have eggplant. It's like zucchini. Eggplant just grows incredibly well. But at this point, I have never really tasted it when it was real palatable. But you know, we need to be observable. We need to be distinct, like fresh ground salt, like a light that's on a hill, like, you know, if somebody offers you, comes around and they offer everybody else in line wine at a meal. Maybe you're eating with your company or something like that, and they offer everybody else some wine. They come to you and they say, well, I don't suppose you want any, do you? No, ma'am, I sure don't. It ought to be like that. It's not always that way, but I think they ought to get the mess. How do they get that? How do you know there's somebody probably at that house when it's up on the hill? You can see before you get there. There's a light on in the window. Maybe if you see a shadow go across in front of the curtains, I know somebody's in there. How do you know if something's got salt in it? By the taste. It don't have to be so much on it that it's glistening. I worked with another man one time that he used too much salt. I saw he used a salt in a big can, and he would salt things until it looked like it had snowed on it. And I don't understand what was wrong with his taste buds. I don't need that much salt. But we don't have to have it glistening, but we want it to be distinct. And when they taste and see who we are, this has really got the salt, the thing that will make a life different. I'd like for us to look at the words of a song that we have, number 288. He says in the first verse, out in this dark world, Savior am I, be thou my helper, oh, hear my cry. We are in a time of incredible darkness. And the enemy would like for us to turn our lights down to where it just barely qualifies as a light. You know, we've all had a flashlight that, especially in the days of the incandescent bulb, when if it was really dark, you could turn it on and tell that it was coming on. But if it was very much light around, you couldn't tell if it was on or off. Well, we are in a time of gross darkness all around us. And the enemy would like for us to feel like that we are being a light when we're just barely glowing. And I want to challenge us in our lives, in our experience, to not be afraid to live up to what Jesus said. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. I know it feels conspicuous. I know because my personality is more on the shy side. Some people, you can ask them, are you shy? And they'll say, nope, I'm not. And I'm one of those that if you said, years ago now, it's been a while back, I spoke at a place that it was not this setting, But I was got the opportunity to speak at one of the boys' baccalaureate services, and afterwards, somebody said something to me. You was a little nervous, wasn't you? And I said, yes, I was. It's not that I felt just really comfortable at all. That's part of who I am. It's a personality thing. But it doesn't mean I shouldn't work on that. I think the Lord wants us to be able to be that light that would do what? Draw all men to Him. Very distinct. A crisp light. I have in recent years, the LED flashlights and all. The boys have had multiple different ones, and it's pretty neat to have a little flashlight that will fit in your pocket, and you can pull it out and turn it on and see distinctly the trees that's several hundred yards from my house in the dark. That's powerful. It's a lot of light. But what kind of light does the Lord want us to be? Like an old mercury vapor light that's about 90% gone? That 15-watt bulb? No, I think He wants us to be distinct and crisp, where it illuminates the things around us, and people are willing to recognize, if I'm going to be like Christ, there is something He can do for us. He can change us. He can make us different. So I desire your prayers, because if you ask me if I'm a shy type person, I would have to say yes. I'm not a unshy person. And it's a hurdle that I have to overcome. My nature would be to run under camouflage. It's not my nature to be in somebody's face. But Lord, help us to be willing to be the salt and to be the light. This is what I believe Jesus was telling us to do. There are many, and what I'm giving you tonight with the help of the Lord is a tool. And you can use it to your own advantage. You can use it to make it make something really profitable in your life, or you can just put it on the shelf and not use it at all. You can find many areas that you can use this tool to cultivate your salt, make it distinct, and cultivate your light and make it distinct. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.